It's a great joy to be here tonight with you all. My name is Father Stephen Riley. I'm the third in this Lenten Linebacker series. You've had a couple of talks already. First one is Father Jason, know your opponent, laying out that groundwork, you know, getting the scouting reports. And Father Edward last week, executing plays. And I have been given the topic of getting into the end zone. Now, this is a very providential day to consider this. One of the most spectacular and unexpected plays for getting into the end zone is the Hail Mary pass. And today is the Feast of the Annunciation. This is the day when the Hail Mary was created. This is when the angel Gabriel appeared to the Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace. So getting into the end zone, the Hail Mary pass. I looked it up in Wikipedia to get a little history of the Hail Mary pass. There's a long and distinguished history behind it. Apparently, this became famous after, at least famous in kind of the American pro football lexicon, after some big play in 1975 when Roger Staubach threw a Hail Mary. He said he threw up the ball and said a Hail Mary. Completed the pass and beat the Minnesota Vikings. Wow. Okay. I once met Roger Staubach. He's a great Catholic, and I'm not surprised that the Blessed Mother interceded for him. Before that, the Hail Mary pass was typically in the Catholic school arena, you know, Notre Dame, all those teams, Holy Cross, they were the ones who talked about the Holy Mary pass. But after that big play in 1975 with Roger Staubach, it kind of became a common term. Now, thinking of that sports analogy, okay, sports analogies are good. They go back, you know, St. Paul used sports analogies, right? He talks about running the race, about winning, about I'm not just shadow boxing here, okay? He's really putting in an effort. Now, working that Hail Mary pass analogy, what's the Catholic spiritual life version of the Hail Mary pass? Think of it. What's a Hail Mary pass? It's a low probability pass play that winds up with a touchdown winning the game. Okay, it's kind of coming out of the blue. It's unexpected. It's spectacular. Okay, I'll offer you this as a possibility. The deathbed conversion. Okay, the deathbed conversion. The person who's been, let's say, on the margins of the faith for a long, long time, been drifting away from God, has never been very, very close. But maybe he's had, you know, a devoted wife who's prayed for him. Or kids who have prayed for him. You know, and that grace over time takes a long time, but sometimes it has that last minute effect. One of the favorites of my brother, Scott, is John Wayne. John Wayne, you remember him, True Grit, right? All the great westerns he was in and everything. Well, did you know that he had this Hail Mary pass? He connected, or someone connected for him. He became a Catholic with his last breath. It's pretty amazing because he was married to a Mexican woman at that point, very Catholic woman who prayed for him a lot. His kids were actually Catholic, and they just hoped that one day, you know, he would come into the church. He would joke with priests who would come and see him or see his family that he was a cardiac Catholic. You know, he was, you know, a Catholic just waiting for that last minute when he'd call in the priests. Okay, well, he got to that last minute. He was in agony. He was really in bad shape. He looked like he was definitely just had a few days to live. And so his son Michael asked him, "Dad, can I call the priest? Can I call the priest now?" And he said, "Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. I think it'd be a good idea." And Father Robert Curtis, UCLA Medical Center chaplain, came over to his house, baptized him, gave him confirmation, gave him his first communion, and that night he fell into a coma. This is what his son Michael said: "I don't know the technicalities of the church or what constitutes a conversion, but my dad died in the church." The past connected. Beautiful. The Duke, he reached those pearly gates, not with a pistol, but with a baptismal certificate. Which would you like when you are meeting St. Peter? So it's never too late. It's never too late. That's the beautiful thing with our Lord. His mercy can always come at any time, any place. It can touch hardened hearts. It can work that soul. It can bring him across that goal line at the last minute. Okay, so it's a beautiful thing. But let's admit, as spectacular as the Hail Mary pass is, it's really not a strategy. It's not the way you want to plan for a game. Well, let's just lose yardage the whole game, and then let's see if we can have a 60-yard connection at the end of the game and win in the most spectacular, dramatic fashion possible. Not a strategy. Nobody's going to put their money on a team like that. So what I would like to think about tonight are the three keys to the consistent spiritual getting into the end zone. Okay, three things that we have to do. Okay, and you will recognize these. These are just the meat and potatoes of our Catholic life. That's what will get us into the end zone. Okay, what's the first thing a good football team needs? It needs a consistent ground game. It's got to have a ground game. It's got to be able to pound out a few yards every play. It's got to keep a forward momentum going. It's got to keep chewing up the clock, making progress. It might be slow, but it's effective. It's consistent. Okay. What is the spiritual ground game of the Catholic life? The presence of God. The presence of God. In other words, we have to be constantly connecting with God. We live in a very secular environment. We're surrounded with noise, with things that are going on, with all kinds of deadlines, with pressures, things that are weighing us down. Okay, we have got to consistently pull out of that and go up. Critical. It's absolutely critical that we do this. If you wait to connect with God, to do it on a weekly basis, when you go to church, you go to Mass, well, that's something, right? Okay, but how often are you going to get in the end zone that way? There's no ground game. Again, you're waiting for the lucky play. You've got to bang it out. And it's a day in, day out, going for it. Okay, I would like to offer a few easy ways to have this good spiritual ground game. Okay, it's really simple. You have already learned these things. Say your prayers. Okay? That is really important. Today we celebrate the Blessed Mother's prayer. The Hail Mary was the angel gave it to us. Hail Mary, full of grace. Okay, so the Hail Mary is it's a pass play, but most importantly, it is the heart, at the heart of our relationship with Mary, who is taking care of us. Pray to her. Say the Hail Mary several times a day. Several times. You get into the car, say a Hail Mary. You have a tough moment, say another one. Okay, you see that coworker coming at you that you just want to run away from. Say a Hail Mary. Okay, whatever, wherever we're at, we can do that. Okay? Do little prayers that can connect you back to Jesus. He is our Lord. Okay, if we go to Him, He always answers that prayer. And it doesn't need to be huge, beautiful. It could be as simple as, Jesus, help me. Okay? How often do you hear Jesus' name, His holy name, used as a swear word? Okay? It is typical out there. Instead of that blasphemous use that's out there, let's use it as it is meant to be, the name that saves. Jesus, the name means God saves. Every time we say His name in a way like that, we are invoking down upon us God's blessing, His salvation. The great fathers of the church, you know, the ancient fathers, and this kind of tradition still lives very, very strong in monasticism, you know, monks who spend their lives praying, they will say the Jesus prayer. And it's a very simple prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. They'll say that hundreds of times a day. Let me tell you, if you try doing that, try saying it five times in a row and thinking of the wounds of Jesus each time you say that, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Wherever you're at, whatever temptation you're being hit with, it's like it gets slammed into the ground. Okay? Because Jesus is power. He is the Son of God. And when he is invoked, demons flee. Okay? If you're having an issue with, I don't know, whatever it is, you can fill in the blank of the template of the sin card, okay, whatever you're struggling with, okay? The typical stuff, okay? Say His name, invoke His presence. You will do better. You will get more consistent. You will be banging out the yards. Okay, you'll be making headway. Okay, if you call on Him. Okay, so that's so important. Another way to have that consistent spiritual ground game, and it's really important because it really brings that presence of God into our lives, is saying, this is the ABCs of our Catholic life. Saying grace before meals. Okay? I mean, just having the guts to make a sign of the cross in a public place and say, you know, you don't have to, you know, broadcast it out there, but, you know, just make the sign of the cross and bless us, O Lord, in these, I guess, which we're about to receive from Thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Right there. The presence of God has been brought down upon you. You have thanked God for a blessing. The food that is in front of you is His blessing. It's His gift. So when you thank Him, you draw His blessing down upon you and it radiates around you. Okay? Dads, spiritual leaders never let a family meal begin without saying grace. Okay? It is a sacred mission that you have to instill that spiritual presence, okay, to give your kids, your family, the tools. You're the coach, right? You're the coach. You're the spiritual coach of your family. You're teaching them the ground game, and the ground game wins. Okay? They do it. Be that spiritual leader. Doesn't have to be a lot, but a little done consistently gets you a long way. Okay? So that short spiritual moment, okay, several times a day. I mean, like whenever you're walking down the street, you're driving down, you're stuck on the FDR, whatever it is, you're in the subway. Why? Because when we're in these environments, we're so tempted to go bad. We are tempted to get, we're so easily swayed into anger, to cursing, to just even being mean ourselves, okay? Well, let me see how I can cut this guy off. He just cut me off, you know? No, we can clear out all that mental debris and just get it out with just a moment like that. That's what it takes. Okay, so that's the ground game. The next thing, the second thing, a great team needs to get into the end zone. It needs the spiritual passing game. It's got to make some good yards. The ground game opens up the field so that you can get the passing game going, right? So that you can get down the field quicker. And what is that in our Catholic life? What brings us that? Our Eucharistic life. Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. There is the spiritual passing yard. You want a big play? You're doing it right now. Okay? This week, I'm sure you've said some prayers, you've had some presence of God here and there. Well, right now, you're getting a 35-yard pass play completion. Okay? Because you're with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Okay? Because it's like when we're with Him, His spiritual presence magnifies. It's like that much more powerful. It gets into you. It's like spiritual radiation coming out at us that's just like taking us over. Okay, and helps us to keep on a good path. Okay, so that spiritual life just benefits so much from being close to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Pope Benedict, he wrote a beautiful, beautiful reflection about the Eucharist. And he said this about the early Christians and their awareness of what the Eucharist was. Listen to this. From the beginning, Christians were clearly conscious of the radical newness which the Eucharist brings to human life. The faithful immediately perceived the profound influence of the Eucharistic celebration on their manner of life. They went to Mass, and they saw they were different. You know the computer programming principle, right? Garbage in, garbage out. Okay, you put bad stuff in, bad stuff comes out. You put in your soul, you put good stuff in, good stuff comes out. Okay? And so, when we have this devotion to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, when we go to Mass and we receive His presence, His spiritual, sacramental, bodily presence in us at Communion, we are getting that newness of life. We leave different people. We're more empowered in our Catholic life. If you want to see results, get that consistency there. You know, every Sunday, you know, faithfully going to Mass. If you can get to daily Mass, if you want to see some real impact, Go more often. Go to more masses, not just on Sunday. You go during the week. Let me tell you, people just have always told me, you know, when they have started that, their lives changed. They became more filled with peace, more filled with a spiritual outlook. They could feel even God's presence more closely. Okay, they didn't feel like they were just adrift by themselves. They felt the reality of Christ being near them. And that's the story of the saints. How did they become the holy people they are? Well, the Blessed Sacrament was like the heart of how they got downfield so much faster than most of us. St. John Paul, you know, Pope Francis just canonized him last year. He was such a man of the Eucharist. I mean, there was one time I had an opportunity to see him praying. It was in Detroit, and it was in the 80s. He had invited all the religious of the Archdiocese of Detroit to be with him in the cathedral, and he stopped in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel before being with everybody. And there were there were people in there too, and I got a glimpse of him in there. And you know, he was about to have this big event. I mean, there were at least a couple of thousand priests, nuns, brothers in the cathedral then. It's like none of that. It, like, it all had disappeared. He was just so into this communication that was going on between him and Jesus there in the Blessed Sacrament. He was just so into it. This is what he said one time about his experience of celebrating Mass. Because you can see these saints just had, they see what we just kind of glimpse. We get little glimpses of this, but they kind of live in another, more exalted reality. They just understand this a lot more. St. John Paul wrote, "I've been able to celebrate Mass in chapels built along mountain paths, on lake shores and sea coasts. I've celebrated on altars built in stadiums and in city squares. This varied experience of celebration of the Eucharist has given me a powerful experience of its universal and even cosmic character," he says. Cosmic, okay, like this thing filling the universe. "Because even when it's celebrated on the humble altar of a country church, the Eucharist is always and in some way celebrated on the altar of the world. It unites heaven and earth. It embraces and permeates all creation. The Son of God became man in order to restore all creation in one supreme act of praise to the one who made it from nothing. He, the eternal high priest, who by the blood of his cross entered the eternal sanctuary, thus gave back to the Creator and Father all creation redeemed. He does through the priestly ministry of the Church to the glory of the Blessed Trinity. Truly, this is the Mysterium Fidei, the mystery of faith, which is accomplished in the Eucharist. The world which came forth from hands of God the Creator now returns to Him redeemed by Christ." That's an impressive vision. It's kind of like Jesus here, you know, He's the Son of God. He's what links us to God the Father. And it's like He's reaching out to all of us here, and it's like He's taking us up with Him to His Father. Okay? That's what the Pope was talking about, St. John Paul. It's like the world was created by God, but then it's redeemed by Christ. In other words, we're brought back to God. We've fallen away from Him through our sin, but we're brought back to Him by Jesus. Okay? So, if you want to get the ball down the field in a hurry, go to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Okay? So, first, the ground game, passing game, and then you also need your timeouts. Right? There are plenty of times when we get into ruts, we get into set patterns, we just start losing our focus, doing the same things that have the same bad results. What do? We got to stop. We've got to assess. We've got to rethink. And that's the spiritual timeout. What are our timeouts where we can just kind of pull back a little bit and think, well, how's this going? Confession is a great way to do that. Confession is a wonderful way. Because we examine our conscience, we ask ourselves and we think, how am I doing? How is my life pleasing God? Or how am I drifting away from God? I can think, am I having a positive impact in bringing people in my life closer to God? Or am I a burden for them? Do I make their path to God more difficult because of X, Y, Z? Okay, so with that kind of thinking, I can stop the bad momentum. I can start turning it around. Because with the grace of God coming into my life, with my confessing to our Lord my weakness, my sinfulness, asking Him and begging Him for that help and support that I need, we change the momentum. Okay? We change. It's not just going to be the same. So that's so important to take time out to think, to reflect, and then to bring ourselves and receive God's forgiveness. As Pope Francis said, don't be afraid of confession, he said. When someone is in line for confession, he writes, or he said, he feels all these things, even shame, but then when he finishes confessing, he leaves feeling great, beautiful, forgiven, clean, happy. The sacrament of reconciliation is a sacrament of healing. And he finished, when I go to confession, it's for healing. Healing the soul. Healing the heart because of something that I did to make it unwell. It's really beautiful. The Pope gives us the example. They had a penance service in St. Peter's Basilica a couple weeks ago. And you know who was the first one in line? The first one who had his confession heard at that was Pope Francis. You know? He leads the penitential service. Then once he's finished, he goes, makes a beeline to one of the confessionals. He takes his couple of minutes there for confession with the priest, and then he goes to his confessional, start hearing confessions. Okay? A great example, beautiful example, because we all need it. Okay? Every one of us needs that help and support. So, those are the things. If we keep that kind of effort, we keep that kind of spiritual structure going in our lives, we get that ball in the end zone a lot more than not. If any of these things are missing, if you don't have the spiritual ground game, passing game, or your timeouts, you know what happens. You get stuck. You find yourself expending loads of energy but getting nowhere. You know, my sister, when we were little, she had a gerbil. She loved her little gerbil. Had a little carousel in the cage. That gerbil would just spin. Look like us on our treadmills, right? Just going so fast and going nowhere. Okay? We keep our spiritual program strong. We do this kind of thing. We will find that we are scoring more touchdowns. Okay? When what are those that kind of spiritual scoring that we want? Okay. We're going to feel more love in our lives. Who of us doesn't want that? Okay? We'll feel more love. We'll feel more loved by God. Not that could ever love us less, but we start to perceive it more because we clear out all this interference and it starts to get to us. We start to pick up, we're starting to be on that wavelength so that we can perceive it better. We start to feel more love. We start to give a lot more love. Okay? The people around us will feel that. And there's no more satisfying touchdown than seeing that reflection, that love I give is love than I receive. Okay? That's a beautiful thing. We start to feel more our purpose, that we have purpose in life. Okay? That we're not simply, you know, thrown out into the universe, cast adrift, trying to make sense of it all. No, we have a purpose. We have a call. We know where we're headed. We know that we're going somewhere. That gives us such confidence. We start to live more virtuously. Hey, we start to live more virtuously. Those temptations that used to just knock us down so easily, we start to resist more. We start to put up a better fight. We're not such sitting ducks for Satan's temptations. We're much stronger. Okay? And then as well, we bounce back quicker. Okay? You know, when we're all going to fall. But if you're living this kind of consistency, it's not like you fall and then you stay prostrate. You have to be carted off to the hospital. No. Okay? You get back up. Okay? And in fact, you can have this kind of spiritual one step backwards, two step forward phenomenon, where even a sin can be an occasion of growth. Because let's say you take a step back, you say, oh, no, Jesus, help me. I don't want to be this way. I want to live for you. And right there, you take a big leap forward. That's the way our Lord works. He is very generous with His grace. Okay? So we're here right now. We're here with Him in the Blessed Sacrament. This is such an optimal time now just to bring to Him everything you're going through. That's what you talk about. Talk about your dreams, your hopes, your desires. Talk about your messing up, your taking steps back. Ask Him about all of that. Be confident in Him, because He's confident in all of you and all of us. He's brought us here. He's given us this opportunity. So we'll spend now a few minutes here. Let's take about 15 minutes we'll have for prayer here before the Blessed Sacrament. Anyone who would like to go to confession, now will be an opportunity. And then we'll have benediction at the end. You have the sheets, and we'll do that after we're done having a little prayer time, reflection, being with our Lord.